You guys, woo! All right, you guys ruined it for me, but thank you. Emma did the announcements today, and I was going to bring up the fact that my favorite announcement for today is that it is her birthday today. So if you have a chance, as she looks like she's running out the back door, wish her a happy birthday, sing her, you know, the happy birthday song, whatever it is, just get a chance, just, you know, make this day special for her. But without further ado, I do have the privilege this morning of being able to bring God's word and what God's kind of laid on my heart, and so we're just going to go ahead and get started, right? So this past week, I have been mulling over just what God has been doing in my life and things that have just been coming up repeatedly, and God kind of gave me this title, and it said, no matter who you are, right? And with this title, I'm actually going to add a little bit more to it for your guys' sake, but it says, no matter who you are, God can speak to you, and God can speak through you. And he can do that to anybody, and that is why my title says, no matter who you are, right? So this past week, I had the opportunity to speak in the Medford High School, and as I was speaking to the students, we were preparing for what they call the baccalaureate, where it's a bunch of senior highs that get together and just worship God, and it's basically just kind of sending them off as they just take that next step in life, and it's a very exciting time for them. And so I was talking to the students, and I walk up to one of the girls who is going to be also speaking at the baccalaureate, and I asked her, I said, hey, so what are you speaking on? And I was like, are you excited to speak? And she was like, yeah, I'm kind of excited. And I was like, okay, kind of excited. What does that mean? She's like, well, I feel like they chose me. And I felt like there was so many other people that they could have chose to want to just present this gospel or want to present what this is. And I said, well, do you think God gave you something to use? And she was like, well, yeah, I think I have something really good. And I said, well, that's all you have to do. I literally was just like, it doesn't matter who you are. If God's given you a word, speak that word, right? Speak what he has for you. Be obedient in speaking the word. And when you're obedient, it doesn't matter what the people in the audience think, because of the thing is in their obedience, they need to listen to you because God has something for you, and he's going to speak to you and then speak through you to speak to your fellow classmates, right? And that's just kind of where I'm going to be landing this week, right? And, you know, if you're new to the church and you've heard me just say a few times that God speaks through somebody, right? A lot of times when we hear the word or we hear the phrase, God's going to speak to you or through you, you're kind of like, what does that mean, right? A lot of people think, and I'm not going to yell because I'm very already loud, but it says, like, when God speaks to you, it's like, Daniel, you know, I feel like it's a deep voice, like, Daniel, what are you doing? You know, I don't know. I don't know why. I think deep voice, maybe it's because of the Moses movie back in the day. I used to watch it, you know, and he had that deep voice and it was super cool. And that scene where he's at the burning bush. But, you know, he speaks to us and he speaks through us, right? And with that, I just was like, yeah, maybe if I do say that to some people, they might be like, what is he talking about? Like speaking to. But the thing is God speaks to us in many different ways. And the thing is, a lot of times when he speaks to us in ways, sometimes we've listened in the past, and sometimes we've heard him in the past, but also sometimes we feel like we haven't heard from him in a while, right? Or sometimes we feel like we hadn't heard like what we expected to hear from him, right? And so we're going to actually be in Habakkuk chapters 1, verses 2 and 3. And Habakkuk kind of goes through this same phrase, right? Habakkuk is a prophet in the Bible, and we give you a little bit of a synopsis of what's going on. Judea right now is in turmoil. Judah is in turmoil. They are sinning. They are just living a life of terribleness, and normally that's why God sends prophets. It's because of it's kind of like this cause and effect. They mess up, so God sends a prophet. The prophet speaks to them, tries to get them back on the right path. So Habakkuk is here, and he is praying to God, and he is a little confused, and this is what he says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoings? Destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and conflict abounds, right? He's confused. He's like, God, you've done things differently in the past. Like when you send a prophet, normally there is a reaction pretty quickly. Things happen really fast. But why are you letting this happen? Like, what is going on? I don't understand. And And Habakkuk is very relatable in this moment because there's a lot of times when in our lives we feel like we're going through turmoil or we feel like we're going through something that we don't understand, and God's provided in the past, so of course we trust God, but at the same time, we feel like he's not answering us as fast or as quick as we think he should be, or he's not answering us the way that we thought he would answer us, right? And so Habakkuk is sitting there, and he's a little distressed, and he's just a little confused. I wouldn't say distressed. I'm not saying he's accusing God or anything, like, but I'm saying he's asking these questions. He's like, why do I call for help and you don't listen, right? And then God, quickly after that, kind of gives him a synopsis of what's going to happen. He says, so I'm about to send the Babylonians to wipe out Judah, right? And he was like, what do you mean you're about to send the Babylonians? Don't you know who the Babylonians are? And of course, God knows who the Babylonians are. He was like, yes, I'm going to send them, and they are going to take out Judea in this situation, and that is going to end up bringing justice over time. And he was so confused because he was like, okay, so you're telling me, God, that you are going to bring down a bigger enemy to wipe out this enemy that is here right now, right? And he was like, yeah. He's like, so you're going to add gasoline to a fire? And he's like, yes, because this is what needs to happen, right? God was like, this is going to happen. And so Habakkuk, being the faithful prophet he is like, okay, I may not understand exactly what God's doing or what God is going to do, but I do understand it, right? And with us, in our daily lives, that is one thing that we always need to understand, is that God's word and God's provision for us is way better than anything that we could think, right? If you're sitting there and you're like, man, God hasn't answered me. God hasn't done this for me. God, what are you doing? The thing is don't get discouraged, right? Habakkuk here is a great example of not being discouraged, understanding. Now, ask questions. Ask. God is a great God. He will love to hear your questions. He would probably just love for you to chat with him for a minute, right? Just ask him. Like, and that's what Habakkuk was doing. He was asking, and he was like, God, what's going on? And God was answering him. Now, he may have not liked the answer, but let's be frank. No matter what God does, it is going to be the better decision for us, especially in the long run, right? So again, like I said, no matter what you may have planned for yourself, God's plan for you is better. God's plan for any situation in your life is better. Better for your marriage, better for your family, better for your job, better for your finances. All of these things that we struggle with as humanity, you know, God has a plan, and we have to trust in his plan. And here, this is where Habakkuk, in my opinion, really shows how good of a prophet he was and how good of a just follower of Christ he was. It says, okay, I may not understand exactly what's going on. I'm going to ask all the questions that I can ask you, and I'm going to wait for an answer. And it says, I will stand at my watch post. I will remain stationed on the city wall. I will keep watching so that I can see what he is going to say to me and to know how I should answer whenever he counters my argument, right? What I love here is he was acknowledging that, yes, I've asked these questions to God, and yes, these questions that I've asked to God, you know, he's going to answer them. And when he probably does answer them, I'm going to be understanding that I'm probably not right in the way that I'm thinking because of his plan is greater than my plan, right? And so Habakkuk, what I love here is it says, I will remain stationed on the city wall. I mean, he is getting prepared. He is preparing himself. He's putting himself in a place to listen. He's putting himself in a place to be aware of what God is doing, right? He's putting him in a place to where he's putting himself, his own self, he's taking that step forward to put himself where he can hear God. And the thing is he's putting himself in that position. And even if he doesn't hear God, what I love is it literally says, I will keep watching so that I can see what he's going to say to me, right? He says, I'm going to keep watching. He's not going to like cut God off. He's not going to not wait on him any longer. No, he literally says that I'm going to keep watching so that I can see what he has for me. Right? I want to keep watching to see what the answer is that he has for me and in this situation, right? One of my favorite things is, you know, he sits there, and honestly, I bet it was a very awkward moment in time, because I don't know how many of you guys love awkward silences, but to be frank, I do not love awkward silences, right? Like, actually, I'm going to do something with you guys for like 5 seconds. I'm not going to say a word, and it's just going to get really awkward. I'm going to break the silence, I promise you, but let's just test it out. Ready? This is very awkward. See, I can't even handle it for 5 seconds, right? So again, waiting on the Lord a lot of times is kind of awkward. Waiting on the Lord a lot of times really affects us in situations because if we think to ourselves, like, how many of you guys, whenever I got really quiet, wanted to just get up and say something or get up and get out of the room because of they can't handle a situation? I'm going to tell a story. Whenever I was growing up, my brother and I, we called ourselves like the little pew rats. We would sit in the back on the pews every day as my dad spoke on Sunday mornings. It was just him and I as kids there. Well, randomly, this couple showed up with their daughter and son. They were way younger than us, right? And my brother just can't handle awkward situations, right? And in this situation, the younger brother socked the younger sister in the face, and then she just started crying. And we're in the back, and they're in the back, and it's kind of separated how this is, and we're sitting over here in the back, they're sitting over there in the back, and we just hear, and we are like, and we both look, and then she starts screaming, and then everybody looks at my brother and I like, what just happened? And my brother is like, and he gets up, and he literally leaves the room for me to fend for myself there. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, Caleb, where are you going? You look so guilty right now. Sorry, but anyways, we had to explain in the middle of my dad speaking that, you know, the dude socked his sister. And we were like, so random. But anyways, he couldn't handle the awkwardness. It was so funny, and it's just one of those stories that I'll always remember. But anyway, same sense, though. With that being awkward, the thing is we always need to keep waiting. Keep waiting, press through that uncomfortable feeling, and just wait for God to move, because he's going to move, because the Bible tells us that he is going to move for us and through us, right? And again, for me, it's just so hard to wait. It's so hard to not want to take control. It's so hard for us not to want to do what we think is best in the situation. But the thing is God has proved himself to us many, many, many times, right? And just to be frank, there is another prophet in the Bible, and we're going to be talking in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to be talking about a guy named Elijah. And whenever I hear the name Elijah, I get kind of excited, because Elijah to me was a superhero in the Bible. I feel like God did so many things through him. God did so many things for him, and I was just like, this guy is awesome, right? And it didn't matter who it was, God just can move through people, but in Elijah's case, he moved through him greatly. And there's a story here that happens, right? And I want to give you guys a brief little synopsis of what's happening. Samaria right now is in famine. They are in a drought. They have not had water. They have been sinning for a very long time. They are beginning to throw out all of the prophets of the Lord and are accepting the prophets of Baal, right? And Elijah is the only prophet left of the Lord. And so what he does is he does this cool thing where he challenges the prophets of Baal, and there's 250 prophets, and he challenges them, right? And this is in chapter 18. I know I said it was in 19, but this is in 18. I will be in 19 shortly. But he challenges the prophets in Baal, and he says, okay, let's compare and see whose God is the real God, right? And so so Elijah said to this group of people, he was like, all right, we're going to create an altar. But the thing is we're not going to light that altar. What's going to happen is our God is going to light that altar, right? So don't touch it. Don't use any of your things to light it. Let your God do it, right? So it says that Elijah sat there for a while, and the prophets of Baal were sitting there, and they were just doing everything they could to make this fire light. They were praying to him. They were talking to Baal and all of these things. And Elijah kind of begins to be a little sarcastic with him, kind of mocks him a little bit, and was like, hey, how about you guys talk a little bit louder? Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he stepped out. Maybe that he is busy doing something else, you know, because, you know, gods get busy, right? And so it says that they've done everything according to their rituals in order to invoke Baal to bring down this fire, and it never happened. So then Elijah said, okay, come to me and watch me. And this is what's going to happen. And I will prove to you that our Lord God is the true Lord God, right? And he even kind of heightens the stakes a little bit. He goes, okay, so the sacrifice you had there, do me a favor, go and grab a bunch of water. Enough water, basically, to overfill the trenches that are here for the sacrifice. And so they poured so much water on it. And then he literally prays and he goes, God, show them that you are the true God and light this on fire. God sends down a fire, and it burns it all up to the point where it says it even licked up all of the water that was within the trenches, right? God sent down this amazing fire, and again, it was just out of Elijah's obedience and out of Elijah knowing that God had something for him. This is what he was going to do. This is what God was going to do through him to prove his reality, to prove his, basically, who he is, right? To prove who he is, right? And he does that to us. He proves to us day in and day out who he is. And sometimes we miss it. And sometimes it's a hard reality for us whenever we don't feel like we're hearing God. We feel like, oh, maybe God's mad at us. No, it's not. I don't think it's God's mad at us. No, I think it's we maybe need to be changing the way that we're hearing God. We need to be changing the way that we're listening to God, right? So shortly after that, in this next verse is in 1 Kings 18, he begins to answer another prayer for the Samaritans here, and he goes up to this hill and he prays seven times, and he prays that God will bring rain for them, because again, they've been in drought, and God again is trying to restore them and trying to provide for them. So Elijah's praying for this rainstorm to come, right? And so Ahab, who's the king at the time, is up there, and he comes back, and after the seventh time that Elijah prayed, Ahab comes back and goes, there's a little rain cloud about this big, about to say, it says the palm of my hand, and it looks like it's coming. And then Elijah said, okay, great, get on your horse and chariot and head down to Jezreel and let the people know. And it says that as he was preparing to leave, the winds began to get crazy, and everything began to, like, this, the rainstorm started coming in, and it synergized Elijah. Energized him, right? And it said that he ran down the hill so fast that he ended up beating Ahab in his horse and chariot to Jezreel, right? I'm like, come on, right? If I can get energized by the Lord like that, that would be awesome, right? I mean, I am young, I will say that, but I am not as young as I once was, and I used to be able to run for days, and now if I go up the flight of stairs, I'm winded, right? I would love to be energized by the Lord. It would be amazing. I couldn't imagine that kind of energy I'd have, right? I don't know. I'm just getting pumped up thinking about it. But regardless, so after all these things that had happened, like Elijah's proved himself twice in a row to these people, Elijah then does something very out of character, in my opinion, very out of character in this next chapter. So we're going to be in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And so Ahab's also very impressed, and he's the king of the area at this time, and he's very impressed with what's happened. Like, God has done all these things, and they're understanding that this is the God, this is the real God. And so Ahab goes to his wife, Jezebel, to tell her everything that Elijah did, right? Well, Jezebel gets very angry, and she gets upset. So she sends a messenger to Elijah and says, may the gods deal with me, be it whatever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not take your life at this time, right? So she just sent a messenger to threaten Elijah, right? Well, honestly, if I just got energized by God and, you know, I got threatened by somebody, I'd be like, bring it on. I got the energy of the Lord, right? And so I don't understand this. I'm always so confused, but it makes sense because the thing is Elijah is still a human, right? Again, it doesn't matter who you are, right? Elijah, yes, was a prophet sent by God, but he is still human. He still has human emotion. He still has human problems that we deal with on a daily basis, right? So again, it doesn't matter who you are. God still spoke through Elijah like he can speak through us. But in here, it says that Elijah was afraid. Elijah got afraid. He just had these two awesome experiences with God and yet was afraid. And again, so relatable. A lot of the prophets in the Bible are so relatable to us because, again, God is speaking through them and to them to speak to people, and they still have human emotions. They still have human reactions, right? The thing is he said he was afraid, so he ran for his life, and whenever he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed. This is crazy. He prayed that he might die. And he said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down underneath the bush and fell asleep. How many of us relate to Elijah sometimes where God has done miracles in our lives and we've known it, but we feel like we're really down right now, right? The thing is fear brings more than just being scared. Fear brings anxiety. Fear brings depression. Fear brings anger. Fear brings just so many other things. It's just a symptom of fear. And here Elijah, one of the biggest ones is he gets afraid where he wants to die. He's depressed in this moment, and he's asking the Lord to take his life. And I don't understand. Again, I'm so confused here, but at the same time, I get it because of he's human, right? And it says just after that, it says that he said, I've had enough. I am no better than my ancestors. He began to have self-doubt. The thing is God just worked through him. God just moved through him mightily, and then he was like, I'm no better than my ancestors. In my brain, I'm like, what are you talking about? You got energized by the Lord. You just did all these cool things. Like, how are you feeling this way? But the thing is that negative thought, that one where he got threatened, his life was threatened, and he got afraid, that one negative thought really took hold. That one negative thought really began to manifest itself, and he began to, what I call, spiral out of control. He got so afraid that he didn't know what to do. And then because of his first reaction wasn't to pray, his first reaction was to run, I believe that kind of began to spiral him worse and worse to the point where he was like, take my life, Lord. I'm done. I'm afraid. I can't do this. I am basically beating myself down here. I'd rather die than deal with all these things, right? And it says that then he laid underneath the bush and he fell asleep after he just asked the Lord to kill him. And he said, All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there was by his head some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Right? I've always loved this portion. I think I've seen this on social media a few times where it was like, you know, the Lord knows that all we need sometimes is a cake and some water, and then we're good to go, right? And I was just like, I can feel that, because when I smell bread, I'm like, please, I would love to eat all of that bread. And even though I know it's not the best for me, I would still love to just chomp down on some bread and have some delicious water and take a nap. Taking a nap, that's a big one for me, especially now with the baby. But taking a nap, but is, again, this guy's going through a little bit more than not being able to sleep because of crying baby. He's going through someone's trying to kill him, right? But anyway, so he said he ate and he drank, and then he laid down again. And then the angel of the Lord came back to him a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, he ate and he drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. Again, Lord's provision, even in our darkest times. It literally said that he ate this bread, he drank this water, and it gave him the energy for 40 days and 40 nights to travel in a desert till he reached his cave. Again, we have these issues in our lives where we feel like God isn't providing, but a lot of times God will do things in our lives that we don't even notice that has been providing for us constantly, to the point where when we look back at that situation, we're like, yeah, God was in that situation. Yeah, God was moving, and I just wasn't seeing it. I wasn't hearing it. I was in such a state that I wasn't able to hear or see what God was doing, right? And again, back in Habakkuk, and whenever he's talking, he literally said, "I will keep watch that I can see what he is going to say to me," right? I'm seeing it, visually seeing it, you know? I like that. It's kind of this thing of like what God speaks to us and what we hear from God. It's just an amazing, I said, attitude to have that Habakkuk had. He was just expecting God to speak to him, and he was not cutting out any avenue, you know? He was like, I'm going to listen, I'm going to watch, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to hear from God. And that's the attitude that we need to have a lot of times, is have that attitude to do whatever it takes. Do not give up, to listen, to be able to hear what God has for you. Because again, no matter who you are, he will speak to you and he will speak through you. He always will. We just have to be faithful like Habakkuk was, right? So again, he gets to this cave, and this is where he gets alone with God. He's in this cave, and God begins to speak to him. And God's first question, and I love it, because if God knows everything, but yet he still asks us these very random questions. Not random, but he said, and the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" What are you doing here? Of course God knew what he was doing here. You know, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and gave him food, and he ran away. And I get it. He knew what was going on here, but he said, "What are you doing here?" And he replied, he said, "I have been very zealous for you, Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and they are also now trying to kill me." And it said, then the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." He was saying, get in the presence of the Lord, right? Getting in the presence of the Lord means so many different things, right? Because there's so many different avenues for us to get in the presence of the Lord. We're all different individuals. We all hear from God differently. There's different avenues for us to be able to do that. And Elijah here, God told him to get in the presence of the Lord. And so, because he was about to pass by. And this is a very famous story, and I think it's such a phenomenal story. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, right? A lot of times we expect God to move so mightily. We expect God to move so quickly and so fast, you know, like this heavy wind that was tearing this thing apart. We expect God to sometimes come in and just eliminate whatever the issue is in our life, but that's not maybe how he expected to happen, right? The Babylonians coming in and wiping out Judea was probably not what Habakkuk thought was the best way to do it, but it was God's way to do it, so it was the best way to do it, right? But the Lord was not in the wind, and it says, and after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. What I like about this is going to be kind of weird, but in the Hebrew, it says a thin silence, a sound of thin silence, which doesn't make any sense, because if you're like, okay, thin silence, a sound, silence, that doesn't make any sense. But the thing is, it's just kind of the way that God speaks to us sometimes. We don't hear it audibly, but we can hear it here. We can hear it in different ways. We can hear it, and again, how God has presented himself to people over the time has been different, right? Again, some people, if you've heard of God audibly speak to you, phenomenal. But a lot of people don't get that. They get these gentle nudges. They get these gentle whispers, these gentle directions, these gentle movements towards the goal that God has and the purpose that God has for their lives, right? And so again, after that, Elijah then heard it. He heard that gentle whisper, and when he heard that gentle whisper, he pulled the cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice of the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Right? Elijah had to get alone with God, and I believe that once he got alone with God, God asked him that question originally, and he was giving his excuses. He was telling him, "This is why I'm here. I'm afraid. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening." And God was like, "Go get in my presence, and once you get in my presence, all things will probably become clear to you," right? So he gets in his presence and he sees God and he realizes, okay, I know what I need to do. And the voice of him said, "Then what are you doing here, Elijah?" That's how God spoke to Elijah, right? God speaks to us in so many different ways, and I'm going to cover three. There are, again, multiple different ways, and God speaks to everybody a little bit differently, but I'm going to cover three today, right? And here, scripture is one of the ways that God speaks to us, right? How many of you guys growing up, if you grew up in church or if you became a new Christian, right, you thought to yourself, you're like, okay, God speaks to me through scripture, right? We've heard that before. So I'm just going to open this Bible and I'm going to point and I'm going to read and it's going to say something to me, right? You know, I've seen those movies. I mean, if you guys ever seen Pure Flicks or whatever it is, that's normally kind of how it goes. It's like this guy walks into a room and there's a Bible open and he reads it and it says exactly what he needed to hear in that moment in time. That's amazing, and that may happen. It's never happened to me, but at the same time, I do understand what they're getting at. They're literally saying, read my scriptures, read my word, and let me speak to you. Now, the thing is sometimes just reading a portion of scripture, it may not speak to you, but that's God telling you, how about you read the full chapter? How about you read the full verse? How about you keep reading every day rather than just once a week? This is him telling you that we need to be in his word constantly to hear from him constantly, right? If you're sitting to yourself and you're thinking, well, I haven't heard from God in a while. Well, when's the last time you picked up the Bible? When's the last time you read scripture consistently? That's the important part, the word consistently there. We need to be keep watching. We need to keep reading. We need to keep moving forward and seeking God constantly, right? And that's hard. I mean, because again, we got busy lives, you know? But the thing is if you're wondering why your life is so hard right now, maybe we hadn't been consistently reading the Bible and listening to his words that he has for us. Because again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us that all scripture is good for teaching. All scripture is good for reproof. All scripture is good for correction, right? And so when we begin to read his Bible and we begin to get closer to him, he begins to speak out to us a little bit more each time. He begins to reveal to us new things every time we read the Bible, and that is the power of the living word, right? The second way is praying out loud for each other, right? I have had some great confirmation this past 2 or 3 days as I was preparing for this sermon, right? And one of them was how often do you pray for your spouse, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, your coworkers? And when I say pray for them, I'm not saying like from a distance where I'll pray for you kind of like this. No, I'm talking like how often do you walk up to them, lay hands on them, and pray over them? Right? How often do we do that, right? How many of you guys have heard, and I think it's become a joke at this point, where it's like, oh, I'll pray for you, sweetie, right? And you're like, okay, cool, but what does that mean? Like, I told you I just was going through this really hard time in my life, and all I got was, I'll pray for you? No, how about we take a little bit of time out of our lives and actually pray for them and pray for that specific situation, because there's always general prayers. We can all pray a very general prayer, but how about we pray a little bit more deeply? How about we pray a little bit more connecting, right? So that God can, again, speak through you to that person, right? A lot of people are like, man, I don't hear from God often enough. I'm like, well, wasn't the last time you got prayed for, but actually got prayed for? When's the last time you sought out getting prayed for, right? We have opportunities here at Bethel Church where the worship team will play, and in the back we have a prayer team, and those people are ready to pray for you, right? And they're wanting to listen. But the thing is that sometimes we're a little too afraid to go back there. Sometimes we're a little too afraid to take that step and move back there so that we can be prayed for, so that through those people that God has anointed to pray for us, that we can hear from God through them, right? And then again, praying for people, for yourself, is it's going to be astronomical for you, because again, it'll begin to change your life. When you begin to realize that when you pray for people and you pray about specific things for people, God will move through you to move through them, and it changes them, but it also will change you. It'll make you better, right? And that again is the second way that God speaks to us a lot of times, is through people and through us praying for people, right? And this is the third one, and I hit this third point, and if the worship team would like to come back up and get ready. This one right here, it says, getting alone with God, right? Elijah got alone with God. Habakkuk got alone with God, and they prepared themselves to hear from the Lord. Growing up, my dad, I never realized it. I'm just going to kind of call my dad out real quick. He's a short guy. And we had these this big closet, and in the end of the closet, there was a stool just sitting there. And I always thought it was a step stool for him to stand up on and grab his clothes from the top, because he was a little bit shorter. I never realized until I was a little bit older that that was my dad's prayer altar. His alone time that he spent was in his closet, because he had three boys. There was no quiet place in that house, but probably in his bathroom, in his closet, in that corner. And he found it. And he knew that this is where he needed to get alone with God when he was facing hard times, when his family was facing hard times, when he was struggling with this, struggling with that, when all of these things were going on in his life that he felt like he couldn't control. Where he knew he could go was that prayer closet. My question to you guys is do you have that prayer closet or that prayer spot that you do? And you could say all day long, you know, well, I pray when I'm in the car. Well, can you really physically, you know, pray when you're in the car? Can God move in you to the point in that car where he could slay you in the spirit at that moment in time, right? You know, because you can't do that while you're driving. I don't think it works that way, right? But let God move through you and let God have that opportunity to move through you. So open yourself up. Right? Open yourself up to let God speak to you, right? Because again, no matter who you are, that's the big point. No matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you are with God, God can speak to you and God can definitely speak through you, right? And that's the amazing thing that God does for us. And that is that one thing that we like to call community, where we build each other up and God builds us up, right? So again, the three ways is read your Bible, you know? Just read it. Begin to read it, but consistently read it. Don't just read it and say, that didn't work for me today. No, keep reading, right? Go back to those verses. Go back to those scriptures. Go back and read. Second way to do it is to pray. Again, verbally speak that, right? I've had two really good confirmations this week. On Thursday, my wife came up and she laid her hands on me and she prayed over me about this service and about speaking to you guys. And that actually spoke volumes to me when she laid her hands on me and she prayed for me. She spoke to me. Had a gentleman this afternoon come up to me before service and laid his hands on me and prayed for me. Again, great confirmation for me to know that this is important because of the effects that that had on me, and the fact that he stepped out and prayed for me was very big on his life too, right? God moved in his life and in my life at the same time by speaking out and by me listening, right? And the third one is just get alone with God. This is where we need to fight the battles. This is where we need to be on our knees praying constantly for our families, for our kids, for our work situation, our financial state. This is the important place, and God will speak to you and again through you if we obey him and if we do what he's called us to do. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you, and we come to you this morning just prepared. We are ready, Lord God, for you to move in our lives. We are ready for you, God, to speak to us and to speak through us, Lord God. If we've been neglecting our time with you, either reading the Bible, praying, any of those things or any of those avenues, Lord God, I pray right now that you'll convict our hearts, that we, Lord God, will want to move the way that you've called us to move, Lord God, because if you've given us all a purpose and a very specific purpose in our life, and if we're not close to you, Lord God, we can miss what you're going to be doing in our lives. And Lord God, I pray right now that we will just give everything we have to you. Everything that we have to you, because you are worth it. And because again, your plans are greater than our plans, and you are going to provide for us. And we thank you for that, Lord God. And we praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.